several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wind me.
Earlier today, I got to participate in an event that I will never forget. I'll start by saying that I'm not much of a seminar guy, and I don't think I've ever sat through a complete seminar in my life until today. Yep, this one was mesmerizing, and I'm not the only person who felt that way. How could it not be mesmerizing when the man at the front of the room is a larger-than-life giant in our industry who is with us here today? I'll introduce him momentarily, but let me give you a hint. This particular seminar was about wine glass shapes and how they change your perception of wine. Now, numerous wine industry experts attended the event, including a couple of good friends of mine. The first is Leslie Gaynor, who's been an executive, a nationally recognized journalist, a founding member of the Paso Robles Vintners and Growers Association, a consultant and speaker in the wine and gourmet foods industries, and has created and run multiple wine retail establishments. Leslie is here along with another friend of Grape Encounters, Lori Wiesnith. Lori worked her way up the ranks of the wine industry from tasting room attendant to wine distribution to wine importation, wine brokerage, and much more. She's been at it for decades, and I'm delighted that she and Leslie are here to help me welcome the owner of the most recognized and respected producer of wine glassware in the world. When you step into the best tasting rooms, chances are they'll pour their wines into Riedel glassware. Riedel has built an extraordinary reputation creating wine glasses that show each wine's fullest potential. And at the helm of Riedel is the company's owner, George Riedel. And George, welcome. It's a real honor to have you with us today.
Good afternoon, and I'm very happy to be back.
So you are passing the baton to your son, Max, right?
We are a family business, and I'm the 10th generation, and I'm very, very happy that after my time in the industry to have the 11th generation to take over. And my son Max is a very passionate glassmaker and a very capable young man who has all the talents needed to run such a responsible operation.
So was there anybody in those 10 generations that said, I don't want to be in the glass business, I'm going to do something else? Was there any resistance that you're aware of?
I'm not really out of the history. Everybody who was in this kind of 10 generations had his part to play and had to contribute to the success of the family business. And if there was something like this, history brushed it away.
I have, as I said, two guests in the studio. I have Leslie Gaynor here, who has been a mentor of mine as we embarked upon going into the wine tasting business, and also Lori Wiesnith. And I'll just let you guys say a little bit about what you felt about the seminar today.
Thank you very much, David. My name is Lori Wiesnith, and I've been in the business collectively for about 20 years. And I was so delighted when Leslie Gaynor invited me to the Riedel tasting, because I've heard about the famous seminars over the years and had never actually attended one. And it was such a delight because, of course, the host, George, was so captivating and I learned so much. And one of the biggest takeaways for me was, first off, I had to really take what George was saying. And that was about, you know, letting the glass do the work and how the right glass showcases the elements that are the best in the wines and how the wrong glass can ruin the whole entire package. That and the fact that we also also did a Coca-Cola tasting in a plastic cup. So we had a plastic cup, and then we also had the newly designed for Coca-Cola glass. And the difference in the size of the bubbles and the flavors and the whole effervescence and effect on your palate was just absolutely astounding.
And the Coca-Cola glasses, are they going to be available, actually?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I'm giving up wine after tasting Coca-Cola in that glass.
No, seriously. Don't do this. Just shows that we are going to make instruments for very many different beverages. And we obviously come from the wine industry, and we are great supporters.
I was fascinated by first seeing the size of the bubbles in the Solo plastic cup, and then the size of the bubbles in the specially designed Riedel glasses for Coca-Cola. It was the difference between the bulk method of producing sparkling wine in the big tanks and injecting CO2 when you had it in the Solo type cup, and then when it was in the Riedel glass, it was like Dom Perignon sized bubbles. It was miraculous.
We are not responsible for miracles. Definitely not. But it just shows when you start to engineer glasses towards a goal, you're able to do some very interesting things. And this is the reason why we do this seminar where we start with water, we taste three different varietals, and then we end with, from the outside perspective, makes absolutely no sense to all of a sudden go with Coca-Cola at the end, because everybody says, why would you do this? And I say, I do this just for one purpose. I let my guest measure the size of the bubble when it comes from the bottle, from the cup, and from our new glass, in order to see how a glass has an effect on the perception of the size of the bubble. And the size of the bubble is something which has to do only with the sense of touch. It doesn't come with a taste.
Right.
It's about the sense of touch. So as you noticed that I was very much in the seminar on the sense of touch. When we tasted water, for example, which has no aroma and no taste, the only thing a glass does, it really manages the physics of the flow of liquid.
It was see, touch, feel. It was a total sensory experience, and it changed my emotions in the process of having that experience.
You know what? Drinking the beverage from the right glass changes the emotions.
Yes.
It's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. We cannot improve the beverage, but we have an effect on the emotions and how good you feel about it. And we drink wine not to quench our thirst. We drink wine to enjoy and to be together and have it with food and have it with friends and family. And to me, this kind of experience of enjoying wine is something which reunites the very big bond. And this is emotional, very emotional. And the right choice of glass obviously makes it clinking your glasses and say, let's drink to health and life.
But so many people just go out and buy glassware for aesthetics, or maybe the price, or maybe both. What's the prettiest glass that I can get for this amount of money? And I know that to be true with just about everybody that I know. Look at these beautiful wine glasses that I got. And you never hear them say, wow, these wine glasses are terrific because they make the Pinot taste better.
Best is when you are very familiar with your wine, to do a little home tasting and to say, why don't I pour the same wine, which I'm very familiar, in a couple different glasses, just out of curiosity. And the interesting part is every glass which you're going to use will give you a different perspective of the wine. It will give you a different message of the wine, a different nuance of the wine. This is the fascinating part. Wine is so variable and it's so emotional that the translator, that I call now the vessel as the translator of the message of the wine, will give you a different story. And wine comes with aromas, and it comes with fruit, minerality, acidity. All of this blends on your palate through your three senses. So your three senses on your palate, sense of touch, taste, and smell, contribute a three-dimensional flavor picture to your senses, which triggers the emotion, and then you check on your emotion, and then you know what glass to choose.
So would this be a fair analogy to compare the wine glasses to the speakers or the stereo when you play music? Because you've got a beautiful song that's beautifully recorded, but depending upon where you play it back, it's going to sound good or not so good.
Or the brand of the speakers when you're selecting your speakers.
Yeah, we definitely don't make the music. We are definitely in the loudspeaker business.
You're in the loudspeaker business,
yes, yeah. We're not making music. And this is, I compare very often our glasses as saying the wine is the music, and we are producing the loudspeakers and conveying the message to the senses of our guest. My concern is that my customers, they own these glasses, but never use those glasses. And the reason is that they are afraid that one of those glasses
they're going to break them.
Break.
Yeah.
So let me just mention considering how much a regular consumer spends in wine, mm-hmm. think about that you spend only $20
exactly.
a week. Right. For your wine, $20 a week, $20. I mean, we know that a glass of wine today costs between $10 and $15 in a restaurant. Mm-hmm. So just $20 is very minimal. But there are 52 weeks, which means that your wine budget is $1,000. Can you imagine? And how much do you spend for a good glass? So in case a glass like this, which costs $30, breaks, this is nothing compared to your wine budget. So there is really something where, and this is something which is the drawback of it, is that my customers, my consumers use those fine glasses only for special occasions, you know, for this kind of high holidays or birthday celebration.
I want to come back in just a second and talk to you about an epiphany that I had while listening to the seminar, because you shared with us how the different glasses affected the wines. And I wanted to ask about whether or not I could misuse these glasses in a constructive way. And we'll ask that question next when we return. My guest is George Riedel, and just saw a fascinating seminar done by him for probably about 100 people, I think mostly in the wine industry, and then good friends in the Central Coast wine business, Leslie Gaynor and Lori Wiesnith. And we'll return with Grape Encounters just after this.
Giving you permission to do things with wine that you never dreamed of. Here's David Wilson.
I've got an $8 bottle of wine. Picked it up on sale in the checkout line. Oh, it looked pretty good to me.
We are back with Grape Encounters Radio and my very special guest, George Riedel, owner of Riedel the Wine Glass Company. Really and truly the gold standard when it comes to wine drinking glassware. Also joining me are wine industry pros, Leslie Gaynor and Lori Wiesnith. Lori, Leslie, and I took part in a seminar conducted by George earlier today, and we were all stunned by how much better the wines we were poured seemed to taste when served in the appropriate glass. Our lesson today included tasting three different wines in three different glasses, which makes up the new Veritas line. We also got to experience the effect Riedel's revolutionary new Coca-Cola glass had on our perception of the iconic soft drink, and all I can say is the experience was magical. While there are thousands upon thousands of wine varietals out there, George, you told your audience that they really only needed three glasses to enjoy all of them. Can you explain why that is?
So let me just mention that we cannot improve wine. This is a very important statement. This would be a miracle. What we study is how a glass works with various varietals. We study what is their textbook notes.
Yeah.
And what we try is with our glass to deliver the sip of wine to the part of your palate which has the advantage to give the wine the greatest balance. And the greatest balance is that wine comes with fruit, minerality, acidity, and bitter components. And we want those kind of four elements on the wine very equally displayed. And this gives you, when you taste wine, the impression that the wine is beautifully balanced. So if you have a wine which has very high acidity like Pinot Noir, you sure do not want to use a glass which emphasizes Pinot Noir, but you want to have a glass which integrates the acidity beautifully in the fruit flavors of the wine in order to give you this kind of satisfaction on your palate where the wine is beautifully balanced and you can taste all the flavors side by side. And the three senses on your palate, which is taste, it is the sense of touch, and the sense of smell,
right.
They integrate beautifully and give you this kind of three-dimensional flavor picture of a wine. And this is what we all seek, is this kind of wine experience. Yeah, it's just a moment, but it lifts your emotions.
What really simplified it for me was when you group grapes into the thickness of the skin and how that equates to the style of the glass. Can you speak to that?
When you look at the various varietals, and when you look just at the variety Pinot Noir, for example, which without a doubt, their home is in France, in Burgundy. And this kind of Pinot Noir grape has been there over 800 years. And the Duke of Burgundy then already ruled that they are only allowed to have Pinot Noir as the only red wine grape. He banned actually Gamay to the south and didn't allow this. So there is no doubt that Pinot Noir comes from Burgundy, originates from Burgundy. And now in the Central Coast, If you look at the Pinot Noirs grown here in the Central Coast, how good they are, how perfect they are, how wonderful they are, they carry their own personality, their own structure.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with Burgundy, but the varietal is the same, which means that the DNA of the varietal, if it comes from Burgundy or it grows here in the Central Coast area, it's the same varietal. And what is the DNA which the two varietals, which this one varietal covers, is part of this is the thickness of the skin, which means that all Pinot Noir grapes feature this kind of very delicate, very thin skin, which does not allow a great deal of color extraction and not a great deal of flavor extraction, doesn't give a wine with great structure or high tannins. No, it gives a very delicate wine, which a glass can deal with this kind of delicacy and pick up these kind of elements which come from the grape. Skin from the grape and from the skin. And this is what we have studied with our glasses. We engineered those glasses specifically to enhance these kind of characteristics which the grape carries.
So the glasses go from thin skin to medium skin grapes to thick skin grapes.
This is how we categorize our three glasses for the red wines.
And if you had to use just one, you'd use which glass?
Is not possible, then I would...
Well, no. Well, wait a second now. If you go into any tasting room around here, you're probably going to see
one compromise.
Glass.
I would call this a compromise. Mm-hmm. And every compromise comes with an advantage and a major disadvantage. The compromise is it makes it easy. And we have demonstrated today that the plastic beaker in itself is a very good translator. And we demonstrated today that with Syrah, that Syrah in a plastic beaker outperformed two out of three real glasses. And I think that everyone who produces Syrah, who loves Syrah, was very much amazed to see how sensitive Syrah is to the right glass.
You do realize that now the producers of that plastic beaker, after hearing this on the radio, are going to run full-page ads in Spectator and Wine Enthusiast saying, we outperformed two out of three of his glasses.
You
oh, well.
We
hence is coming the Riedel plastic beaker.
This is this kind of challenge. And as I mentioned in my tastings, is that we provoke our guests, we provoke to pay attention to this, because if you say, how is this possible that a plastic beaker, which doesn't give no aroma, that's a big disadvantage, no aroma, because too much air circulating on top of the vessel, but taste-wise, for sure, outperforms two out of three real glasses, which are the wrong choice of glasses. This is the reason why we promote these kind of tastings, give our guests who participate the chance to judge for themselves how each of the glasses is showing off the quality of the wine.
We'll continue this very eye-opening, or should I say palate-opening discussion with George Riedel in just a moment. And when we return, we'll find out if misusing the Riedel glassware in a constructive way might have some very positive and unexpected results.
You're having a grape encounter with David Wilson.
If you have a thirst for wine knowledge, be it trivia or the latest trends, there's a website that's overflowing with content that we've created just for you. It's grapeencounters.com, where you'll find literally hundreds upon hundreds of stories and interviews covering almost every topic imaginable. From the world's most colorful and renowned winemakers to unforgettable wine adventures, there's something for every wine lover at grapeencounters.com. Go ahead, log on, uncork, pour, swirl, and sip.
Choosing a gift bottle of wine for a wine lover can be tricky, but choosing a wine accessory that the wine enthusiast in your life will really love is a snap when you log on to grapeencounters.com. At grapeencounters.com, you'll find our top 10 gift-giving picks for wine lovers, and everyone is sure to be a hit. From exotic openers to wine toolkits and even breathalyzers to ensure safety, we've got plenty of inspiration for you. If you're looking for a wine-related gift for someone special, even yourself, get inspired at grapeencounters.com.
This is David Wilson, and I want you to sail with me from Rome to Barcelona on one of the most luxurious cruise ships in the world, the completely reimagined Regent Seven Seas Mariner. Every year, I take listeners on a luxury voyage sure to create unforgettable memories. And next May, from the 10th to the 17th, our itinerary will include some of my favorite places on the planet. And I'll be there to make sure that your travel experience is purely amazing. Imagine visiting incomparable Rome, Florence, Portofino, Provence, and breathtaking Barcelona. The ports will be spectacular, and your elegant suite with a private patio will astound you. Book now and get 2-for-1 fares, free round-trip air, $200 shipboard credit, plus you pay nothing extra for wine, cocktails, shore excursions, even tips are included. For more information, click the link at grapeencounters.com. I've got a luxury cabin with your name on it. Click on the link now at grapeencounters.com.
Grape Encounters is 100% estate-grown. We have, however, removed the pretentiousness and added a healthy dose of fun.
Blood, red wine, found in a stream behind the court, it's fine. It tastes just fine.
Back with Grape Encounters Radio, and you know, as I went through all of the various tests and experiments that were part of George Riedel's seminar, I couldn't help but wonder whether or not using the Riedel glasses in unintended ways might actually yield some very positive results. Let me start by posing this question to my other very insightful guests, Leslie Gaynor and Lori Wiesnith. We learned today that the Pinot glass really brings out the fruit. This glass brings out the minerality. And then when we tasted in the Cabernet glass here, basically no fruit at all. You know, and this was a huge difference. But what if you wanted to bring out more fruit in a Cabernet? Would you be challenged, Leslie, or would you be challenged, Lori, to pour that cab into this glass to bring more of the fruit out, or pour it into this glass to bring more minerality out? Can we misuse the glasses in a productive way?
Are you talking about glass abuse here?
I am. Yeah.
George would agree with you there. Personally, I would go with glass 3 only because, and it speaks to what George is talking about in terms of the color extraction and the elegance and the soft structure of a Pinot Noir. But in terms of the Cabernet, it's so extracted. There's so much more going on in terms of tannins and acids. So for me, what I'm going to want to do is I'm going to go for glass 3 because it's going to give it the most amount of aeration so that I'm going to get into the whole complexity and structure of the wine at a much quicker rate than I would with the other two glasses.
I feel like 60 minutes, point, counterpoint. I agree with so much of what Lori said, but I want to throw in another element that was very profound for me in George's seminar today, and that's adding the food and wine pairing component to the Pinot Noir tasting. Mm-hmm. He had lint white chocolate with the Pinot Noir as a process to go through after we had the Pinot Noir in all the glasses. I'm not a white chocolate fan. I'm not. However, I had a very profound experience. When I tried the Pinot Noir in its glass on its own, I thought it was interesting. When I tried it in the Cabernet glass, I found it more interesting. When I tried it with the white chocolate in the Pinot Noir glass, I found it somewhat interesting. And I tried it again in the Cabernet glass, took another piece of white chocolate and went back to the Pinot Noir glass. When it had been somewhat flat for me in the Pinot Noir glass with the white chocolate the first time, after I tried it with the Cabernet glass and the white chocolate and went back to the Pinot Noir, something had transpired with my palate, and that all of a sudden it went from black and white to technicolor. I don't know why. George, maybe you can explain.
George, it sounds like she's saying that she's going to use two glasses.
Because she can never
to improve her wine drinking experience. With just one wine, and she's going to have white chocolate there from now on.
This is exactly what I said is my mission is to complicate people's
mission.
But true is that all of these kind of experiments are there to make the customer aware that the glass carries a choice. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the main message which we can convey over the air to our consumers, that the more skeptical you are versus your glasses, because if you drink wine only out of one glass, mm-hmm. you can only blame it on the wine. You never blame it on the glass.
How do you get off scot-free like that?
Aren't you lucky, George?
If you have choices of glasses in front of you, you definitely notice that there is a difference, and then you pick up the preferences you like. You know, mm-hmm. when I say the Pinot Noir glass is the best possible glass for Pinot Noir, and a guest of mine says, no, I like it in the other glass much better, then I'm very happy about it, because The customer made a choice. Mm. And this is what actually is the learning curve of it.
There
you
it
need
is.
To have and make a choice. You have a choice in varietals. You have a choice in producers. You have a choice in vintages. You have a choice in prices. And then you go always back to the same glass. And the same glass is the translator. And he translates the wine always in the same message. Why don't you change one time the translator and to learn what does the translator do to the wine appreciation and how does the translator affect the emotions?
So you are not rigid about what glass somebody uses. You want them to have the best personal experience.
I am a very free spirit. And I don't like that somebody tells me anything, you know? And that this makes me very, very, I don't like this kind of pressure. And I don't want to put pressure to anyone's palate, for sure not. But my guests, most of the time, accept whatever glass they get and they taste their fine wine and then they judge the wine. And very often, you get the wrong impression about the wine. There's maybe more depth. There's more expression. There are more details to learn about because you miss them if you don't know about glassware. And glassware carries this kind of opportunity in experimenting your wine further. This is what I wanted to say.
When people come into my tasting room and they're talking about wine and how much they're going to spend for wine and glassware, I just say to them, don't you want to have, with the bottle of wine you're having, don't you want to have the best experience you can possibly have? I'd rather have one glass of wine that I am passionate about than three glasses of wine of something I'm indifferent about. And the glassware makes all the difference in the world.
Definitely does. So I guess the takeaway for people who are listening that don't currently have your glasses, and I hope they'll go out and buy them. Heaven knows they're available any place that sells. Oh, you're raising your hand. any place that caters to wine lovers will have Riedel glasses because they are the gold standard. But even if you don't, it really makes sense to dig every wine glass that you've ever gotten. You know, if you go out and do wine tastings, you have one of those glasses from every tasting, and at least half of them are Riedel anyway. And try the wines in the different glasses, as Leslie suggested, and see what really works for you. And remember, it varies by varietal.
When you think about how much time people plan spending their vacations, which is an adventure, why shouldn't you spend the same amount of time planning the adventure of your food and wine experiences? Because we dine every day. Hopefully we have a good glass of red wine for our hearts every day. Why not put that amount of interest and energy and enthusiasm and intrigue into it? All around the country now, there's so many wine shops you can go into in restaurants where you can explore with the people who are there and expand upon your life. So why not?
Let me just mention this. There is a difference between fork and knife and a plate, you know?
Yes.
Fork and knife is something which are utensils which are important to enjoy your food. Mm-hmm. And then you have a glass of wine there. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part is fork and knife would not make a difference on your palate.
Right.
A glass does make a difference when you drink the wine. And this is something which consumers should take along and to say, wow, I heard this over the radio. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Why don't you pull tonight out, instead of one glass, three glasses, different shapes, different sizes, different shapes, different rim diameters, and pour the same wine in there. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You can even surprise your friend, your husband, and say, try this. Is this the same wine? And you will notice the wine changes so dramatically you don't even think it's
the
same wine.
What a great idea to pour it into different glasses and ask them which wine they like best and never tell them it's the same wine. Amazing. You have something that you produce, which is the assortment of wine glasses that really gives you the opportunity to try different glasses. And it's just one of each glass in the box. That's a wonderful idea because you can make a very small investment and really get to experience the difference between those glasses. Is that kit readily available?
No, this is only available through our tastings.
Oh, through the tastings themselves.
So it's not something which we commercially, because I have to tell you, I would always advise my customer to buy two glasses. Because, as I mentioned, to drink wine by yourself is the saddest part.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's a good place to end it. If somebody wants to know more about Riedel, what's the best source for them to go to?
It's the internet, and you just look for www.riedel.com, and you will find all the information. We are very much on the internet, on the site, so this gives you definitely the best, shortest view on what Riedel does and what we stand for.
And you should be able to find your dealer there as well, the person who's selling the glasses.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You just put your zip code in and you're done.
We are widely distributed, I jokingly say from T to T, so from Tiffany's to Target.
From Tiffany's to Target.
From T to T.
You don't discriminate. Well, it's been wonderful having you here. I can't tell you. And I learned more in the 2 hours that you conducted that seminar than I learned about most subjects in months. It was really enlightening. And I just thank you so much because it really opened my eyes to a number of things that I hadn't thought about. Any final thoughts, ladies?
Yeah, I just want to thank you for the amount of enthusiasm and passion and knowledge that you brought to the seminar and how engaged you were. And as David has mentioned a number of times, I had a lot of eye-opening experiences, and I'm extremely grateful for those. Thank you, George.
I hope you were very skeptical when you came. I hope that you... The fun part is dealing with skeptical people and skepticism, you know, it's always say you need to listen, but you need to feel it on your palate if it makes a difference.
I think the entire room looked skeptical, especially about 15, 20 minutes into it as they're staring at wine glasses. They want to take a sip.
Yes.
And you're making them drink water.
And you're telling us no.
I mean, it was almost it was wine tasting S&M.
Indeed.
Leslie, any final thought?
Just a final thought. I would love to do a coffee taste with you when you have your coffee tasting glasses ready, because I have casually experimented in the mornings with different coffee cups, and I have found a remarkable difference. And of course, after a night of drinking wine, coffee is imperative. So I would love it if you ever did a coffee tasting. I would love to join you for that.
We have teamed up with Nespresso, the Swiss company who brought the coffee experience in capsules, which allows them to deliver the coffee at the freshest point, because the capsule encloses the portion of coffee under nitrogen. There is no oxidation. Mm-hmm. And we have created with them together, with their tasting panel, two blown coffee glasses, one for mild and one for intense.
Nice.
Again, it is Nespresso who gives this kind of complication to the customer, not to say one size fits all, but you have a choice. And the interesting part is the intensity of the coffee is printed on each of the packaging, so you can notice what is an intense and what is a mild coffee. And you, during to your mood or daytime, you can either drink a mild or more intense coffee. And we make the glasses for it.
Okay, so I guess the takeaway here is if you don't like the coffee or you don't like the wine, don't blame the glass, but the glass may be at fault. Everybody, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Again, go on to the Riedel website. It's Riedel.com. That's R-I-E-D-E-L. And please don't say Riedel. It's Riedel. Okay.
I think Riedel might be a football helmet.
Such a pleasure spending some quality time with my very special guest, the owner of Riedel, the world-renowned wine glass company, and my local experts, Leslie Gaynor and Lori Wiesnith. Coming up next, it's the Grape Encounters News featuring our very lovable wine news correspondent, Larry Gifford. So enjoy a few sips of your Pinot out of a perfect Riedel wine glass, and we'll be right back at you.
Coffee in the morning and wine at night. If I had coffee and wine, everything is all right. Oh, it was just a little bluebird or swinging on a vine.
Connecting winemakers, wine lovers, wine adventures, and all things wine from around the globe. You are listening to Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson.
Yesterday's news just hit home today.
Grape Encounters presents What We Heard Through the Grapevine. Today's top news, trends, and stories. Here's what we've encountered. This is Grape Encounters News.
And your Grape Encounter continues. And you know, there are a lot of holiday parties going on where there's going to be a lot of wine served and you're going to be making small talk with people. Here's your opportunity to learn what's going on in the world of wine and look like a smarter person at that party. Who knows, if you're single, you might even meet somebody. With us now is Larry Gifford, the chief wine news correspondent for Grape Encounters Radio. Larry, you going to any parties?
I've not been officially invited to any parties.
You know, that's BS, Larry. You were invited to mine.
Well, I haven't received the invitation in the mail yet.
Nobody else did either.
Oh, okay.
It's totally verbal. We don't want a lot of paparazzi there, Larry.
Well, I can understand.
Okay, what's in the news?
There is a direct correlation between your wine buying habits and the economy. At least that's what Silver Oak CEO David Duncan recently told CNBC.
Whoa. If there was a correlation between my wine buying habits and the economy would be really stellar right now.
Well, Duncan, like others, watches the University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index, and it's considered a barometer of economic activity. And he observes, when we went through the recession, he saw that index go down and wine sales got tougher. Now that the index is up, people are buying wine and buying expensive bottles of wine.
Which hopefully means that when you come to my party, you'll bring one of those.
Yeah. In fact, Duncan said his Silver Oaks holiday sales are already up 16% from last year, and the season isn't even over.
Oh, well, people have probably done their shopping for me early.
You hope so.
All right. What's next?
Big rains have been drenching northern and central California, which is great because the drought has hit those areas really hard.
Did you know that the roof leaks here in the studio?
We found that out, didn't
Yes, we? Exactly.
But despite the 2 to 8 inches of rainfalls total, the intensity of the drought remains. It helps, but it's more of a start than a solution.
Wait. All I can say is that we're well on our way.
We are wet rats.
All right.
New Jersey winemakers have a problem, David. When wine drinkers are told...
You know what? Can you rephrase that? Because
No, they have a problem.
No, they make some good wines in New Jersey,
they
actually.
Do. Here's the problem. When wine drinkers are told that a wine is from New Jersey, it automatically downgrades the wine drinker's experience and pleasure. However, if a wine drinker tastes blindly and is not told which wines are from Jersey, their enjoyment and pleasure increases. They even have a hard time telling if the wine is from Jersey or California.
Really?
Yeah, this is the gist of a study by Duke University professor. So what he says is the contention that wine consumers will downgrade wines that they believe to be from New Jersey relative to wines they believe to be from more familiar wine-producing locations like California takes as a given that consumers expect New Jersey wines will not be enjoyable, a notion that seems uncontroversial.
All right. Well, first of all, this is something that we talk about all the time on the show, that really all wines should be tasted in the blind, with no exception, because I can tell you from judging many a wine competition that when you taste in the blind, you are often, or actually most of the time, pretty surprised to find that the things that you actually liked were things that you probably thought you wouldn't like if you had seen the label. But why is the study specifically about New Jersey versus California? Who funded this study?
Actually, the New Jersey winemakers.
Frankly, I would be thrilled if New Jersey's wines were just as good as California wines and every other state as well, because the more good wine, the better.
Well, this whole contention that the wine's not as good there plays into the whole national stereotype that nothing good ever comes from New Jersey.
I have never heard that.
You're kidding.
No. There's a really good movie called Garden State.
Okay.
That came from New Jersey.
It did.
Okay. What else you got?
Well, we talk about winemakers tinkering with wine quite a bit on the show. Did you know that 1 in 4 bottles of California Pinot Noir and Chardonnay have been put through an industrial alcohol removal process?
Oh, no.
Yeah, so the company...
There was a reason why I'm not as fond of Pinot.
So there's a company called ConeTech that does this, and they provided the 1 in 4 number to Drinks Business recently. Now, ConeTech's alcohol removal technology sees a portion of the wine go through a spinning cone, which separates all the aroma compounds from the liquid before removing the alcohol from the remaining odorless liquid. And then the aroma compounds are added back to the de-alcoholized wine before the product's then blended back into the original wine to achieve their desired alcohol level.
You know what's amazing about that? If you drink wine that is too high in alcohol, you'll feel like you are in a spinning cone. Okay, next.
Finally, this story, which I saw on winebusiness.com, Bloomberg News, allaccess.com, Radio and Records Online, Paso Robles News, and the Slow Tribune, and more. It's been everywhere.
Well, it's obviously not worthy of us talking about since so many other people have already reported it.
Radio host David Wilson and his wife Annie have opened the Grape Encounters Wine Bar on Traffic Way in Atascadero. How's it going?
Wow. That you totally threw me a curveball there. It's going great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's going great. It's really funny because one of the local newspapers called me to interview me about the wine bar. And they asked when we were going to start pouring wine, right? And I said, Friday night. And they ran the story as we were having a grand opening on Friday night.
Oh, great.
Boy, did we get a shock. It was like the place was packed.
Oh, great.
We didn't even, by the time people started coming in, we didn't even have the wine list printed up. I mean, talk about being unprepared. But when all was said and done, a good time was had by all, especially me. And it was really so much fun to have so many listeners come in and very gratifying.
And so what can people expect when they come to the Grape Encounters Wine Bar?
They can see me doing dishes. They can expect to be able to come and sample wines that I truly like. Because, as you know, I don't talk a lot about specific wines and brands just because we're on all over the country. And a lot of the wines aren't available in certain places. But when they come here, they can actually taste wines that are a great expression of the grapes that they're made from. And it really is a lot of fun to sit down and share thoughts and ideas. And, you know, the truth is I am here. And when listeners come in, they will get a chance to sit down and talk with me. And we want to sit down and talk with them. And in many cases, we'll put them on the air and share their thoughts.
That's going to be really cool.
Unless it's you. Because
I'm always here.
We don't have any kind of a filter that will clean up slurring.
No. Good to know.
All right. You want to wrap it up, Larry?
That's the news as we see it.
And what else is it, Larry?
It's time to go.
Yeah, it is time to go. Let's step over to the wine bar, shall we?
Ooh, we shall.